We do not give anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere, the liberty to claim that God has spoken to them apart from the Bible. Never, ever, ever do we do that.
Thanks for joining us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. Don is wrapping up our series, The Holy Spirit Today, with part two of a message titled God's Guidance Today. Last time, Don presented the first key point in understanding how to discern God's will for your life. God's Word, both written and incarnate, is His will for your life. But what about when God's Word is silent on issues like who to marry, where to attend school, or other significant life questions? Don will answer that question today. And you know, we can offer you a little spoiler without an alert here. God's Word is never really silent, in that God has promised it would give us all we need to please Him. So, have your Bible open and ready as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Now, second point, we realize that there are a lot of aspects of our lives that are not explicitly discussed in Scripture, and that's what this part is going to address. Secondly, positive and a negative here in a very long point. Wisdom, not private revelation, is God's will for your life. Wisdom, not private revelation, is God's will for your life. And I'll expand and explain what I mean by that. The Bible does not address every life matter that we face. Should Susie marry Tim or Tom? Should Mark work in Columbus or Lexington? Should Jonathan go to engineering school or to medical school? Those kinds of critical life determinative questions in a human, earthly, temporal realm are not addressed in Scripture. And they have a big impact on life, don't they? What are we to think about those? If God's Word doesn't tell me when I open it, if I'm Susie and, you know, I can't open it and see Tim or Tom in bright, bold, flashing letters, how does God's Word help me know who I am to marry then? If there's not a direction that says the University of Cincinnati or Florida State, just picking a term, picking a school here, for my engineering or medical school decisions, then how am I to know what the best decision is, what the right way is? And how does God's will relate to that? How am I to find God's will for that? Should I be a missionary or should I stay here in the States? Should I go overseas? Well, let's try to deal with that a little bit. Some people believe that God has a specific will for each of those decisions, and it is your responsibility to find it. You must find the will of God for those non-revealed decisions. You must discover it, or you're going to be outside of His will. Wow, really? How do you go about that? Well, you look at the Bible, you get counsel, you look for an inner sense of peace, which may or may not be lasting. Or there's talk of other matters of supernatural guidance that God will speak to you and whisper softly in your ear, Florida State. Is that the way that we find the way forward in those decisions? And attached to it is often an implied, sometimes expressly stated, sometimes implied, or sometimes just underneath the current of it, unexpressed, but thinking people will realize the implications of what's being said. If you go to Cincinnati instead of Florida State when God specifically intended for you to go to Florida State, you have missed His will for your life. And now you're living in the realm of second best, if that. And if you don't find these things out, if Susie doesn't get clarity on Tim or Tom from God beforehand, she might miss his will. Mark goes to Columbus when God intended him to go to Lexington. Does this have any semblance of the great and sovereign God that we serve? Is God going to leave the actual outworking of his will in the lives of his people to mystical sources that they could never know for sure were accurate or not? This all sounds real pious and spiritual and intimate, but it is a spiritual bog that denies the sufficiency of Scripture. And it's dangerous. And lives get ruined over these kinds of things. The idea that God would reveal something to you about your life outside the pages of Scripture that you must know in order to live acceptably before Him, let's take a closer look at that. Are there reasons to be skeptical of that popular view? You better believe it, or I want to raise a question. First of all, God has finished His revelation. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, this last time, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. In this age, God has spoken in His Son, and He's done. That's the whole point of Sola Scriptura. That's what we've been talking about for weeks and weeks on end. God has spoken in His Word, and His Word is enough, and it is sufficient. And we're not to seek and to pry into things that He has chosen not to reveal to us. Christ is the ultimate revelation. Scripture is the ultimate revelation. The Word written and incarnate are supreme and they are final. And so we're not to be looking for other voices from God speaking to us outside of His Word. Look to His Word. It is enough. Now, secondly, Proverbs chapter 28. God has spoken to my heart, people will say, about what I am to do. Well, Scripture does not commend that idea at all. Scripture says in Proverbs 28, verse 26, that he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Wisdom is contrasted with trusting in your own heart. God spoke to my heart. Beloved, that is not the place you want God speaking. You are prone to deception. You are prone to self-deceit. You can trick yourself into thinking something is true when it's not. You need revelation that is outside of yourself, that is fixed, that is unalterable, that stands the test of time. You're putting yourself into a very dangerous position of setting your life on your own thoughts and imaginations rather than the structured, revealed Word of God. The way you feel inside, your inner disposition is shifting sand, and it is subject to a lot of variables that have nothing to do with God's revelation. This is not commended in Scripture at all. Thirdly, and the idea, I guess the idea is, you just kind of get these thoughts that pop into your mind, and you're supposed to know by the way you feel about it whether, it's from God or not. And you have a sense of peace. Maybe it's consistent with Scripture, maybe that's not important to you. Well, beloved, do I need to remind you that Satan himself can disguise himself as an angel of light? Satan can come to us as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Satan is the master deceiver. The only way that we have discernment against Satan is by what God has revealed in His Word. If we're just going by our senses, by the way things feel, by the way it seems to us, you don't know where these thoughts are coming from. You have thoughts in your mind. It could be just something from your own mind prompted. Maybe the Spirit of God placed something in your mind, but maybe the devil did to deceive you. Maybe a demon is working to deceive you and lead you astray. The point is this, is that you cannot infallibly discern between those options. You do not have that capacity to trust in your heart to try to discern the outworking of those things. Fourthly, let's just be real practical here on something that I won't take the time to refer to Scripture on, these last two, because this is just undeniable. Fourthly, this idea that God has spoken to me, somebody that thinks that, they become, over time, if not really quickly, unteachable and divisive. Who are you to tell me from God's word what I should do? God spoke to me. I have a word from God. This is what God told me. I don't need to hear anything else. God spoke right to me. Bypassed the word and just spoke right to my heart. Really? James Jones, Jamestown, 1978, thought a lot of, told people God had spoken to him. You see the fruit of that. If you're not familiar with that story, Google it. Guy from Indianapolis takes his cult down after him. God's spoken to me. And by the way, God, it's God's will for us to drink this Kool-Aid. Over 900 people went to their death in a Guyanan jungle. That's where this leads. And that brings me to my fifth and final point on this aspect of why we reject it, is that it invites spiritual abuse from so-called teachers. It invites spiritual abuse from so-called teachers. Look, this is really common. The book Jesus Calling, you know, this is what God, Jesus gave to me to write and to share with you. Teachers like Beth Moore and other places like this routinely talking about how God spoke to them and told them what to do, what to say, and God's message for the church. No, this is really worth flipping the pulpit over to make the point, because taken to its rightful, logical conclusion, if God has spoken to them, you are not at liberty to question them. Because where God speaks, God's authority is attached to what is spoken. And God's authority is not to be rebelled against or disobeyed. And so when a teacher especially says, "Oh, the Lord spoke to me this morning," do you mean that I should write down what you're about to say just after Revelation 22? Is it that kind of revelation that you're talking about? And here's the really, really, really wicked, and I mean the word wicked in its most expansive definition when I say that. Here's the really wicked aspect of teachers claiming that God spoke to them, and here is God's message for our congregation, or here's God's message for your life today. Here's what's really wicked about that. Think about it with me. Where now is the center of gravity in the revelation of God? Where now do we find the revelation of God? They don't make this explicit. By saying these things, they are turning your attention away from the word to them. I am the prophet here. I am the one who has God's revelation. Listen to me. No. No. To the price of shedding blood. No, we don't do that. We do not give anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere, the liberty to claim that God has spoken to them apart from the Bible. Never, ever, ever do we do that, because we have to push aside God's word itself in order to receive that. And we put a man or a woman in a position of saying that God has given them revelation when everything that we've seen tells us that God closed his canon and said, "My revelation is done. You have what you need. Now go live by it." I agree with John MacArthur in his book, Strange Fire, when he said this. He said, those who seek fresh messages from God have, in effect, abandoned the absolute certainty and total sufficiency of the written word of God. And they have set in its place their own fallen and fallible imaginations. We must guard carefully against allowing our experience and our own subjective thoughts and imaginations to eclipse the authority and the certainty of the more sure word. End quote. That's where our church stands, right there. So I want to end on this most pastoral question. If we do not get individual private revelation, private messages from God, how then are we confident in making life-shaping decisions? How do we know what to do then? Let me just go over a couple of things really quickly with you. What does Scripture say? Scripture tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ is like a good shepherd to us, and He is with us always. He's our Savior. He saved us even when we stumble. We're in good hands in Christ. He is guiding us, not with new revelation, but invisibly directing our lives through His providence. And He said, I'll be your shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And we follow Him as we look to His Word. But beyond that trust in Christ, beloved, as I said at the beginning of the point, wisdom, not private additional revelation, is God's will for your life. And here's what I mean by that. Where God's Word speaks, your obedience is required. Absolutely. There is no discretion where God's Word speaks. Sexual purity, thankful heart, glory of God, those things are revealed. Those things are certain. That's what you are to do. But where God's Word is silent, you have freedom to choose without fear of sinning against God in what you do. Susie, you want to marry Tim instead of Tom? If he's in the Lord, you can marry whoever you please. Mark, you want to go to work in Columbus instead of Lexington? You think that's the best thing for you? You're free to do that without fear of sinning against God. Jonathan, you want to go to medical school in Florida? God bless you as you go. You see, when a Christian is consistently meditating on God's Word, he has liberty to make life decisions where there is no direct will of God expressed in Scripture. He has liberty to make life decisions without fear of sinning against God or somehow missing God's will. Period. End of story. If your mind is filled with God's Word and you are seeking to live a repentant life, you have the freedom to make decisions and trust that as you do so, God is working out His will in the process. But you do not get advance notice in advance from God about these things. And what that means is that you are free to live life with a sense of confidence. Yes, we pray for guidance, but prayer is not designed to be a replacement for wisdom. So, Susie, you want to marry Tim? He's a Christian? Great. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Does he have meaningful employment? Does he have a job? How old is he? What kind of church has he been attending? Oh, really? That may not be the best decision for you, Susie, because wisdom would say you'd want somebody that had some established life skill before you place yourself in submission to him for the rest of your life. Life may not go too well if you reject that. Now, the question is this. Why did I leave a stable life in California, the only home that some of my children ever knew? Why did I leave a stable life in California to do this? Why did I do that? I had no word from God telling me to do it. There was no private revelation from God, no missive to my heart that whispered, the Reds are going to be good one day. You don't want to miss that. Take the call. Be there when the Reds are good. Beloved, I could have said no to that letter without sinning against God, because there was nothing revealed in Scripture about whether I should do that or not. This was not a matter of the moral will of God to me. So the question is, on what basis did I decide to do what we ended up doing? I want to tell you, I did not agonize over mystically trying to ascertain the will of God as to what I should do here. I didn't agonize over that, trying to find some kind of prior word from God before I made a decision. Yeah, I prayed about it, talked with Nancy, we talked with our kids. But in the end, beloved, I came to Cincinnati, I signed my letter of acceptance to that call because I wanted to. I wanted to. And look, it's like this. They wanted a Bible teaching pastor. I was a Bible teaching pastor. But in the end, when it came down to choices, in essence, I said to myself, why not? Let's do this and see how the story turns out. That's how great our freedom is in moral choices. There was no fear of sinning against God by whatever decision I made, because this was not a biblical matter that was stated. It was really, really important. It's had a lot of implications for a lot of people, but it was not a moral choice revealed in the Word of God. Beloved, your security in life comes from this. It comes not from having a private voice specifically directing you in the decisions that you make, but rather knowing that God has given you a sufficient word in which you can find His will. And as you live life according to the desires and the abilities as a Christian that God has given to you, as you follow those things, you have this confidence rooted in the massive truth of Romans that reaches a bit of a capstone in Romans 8:28. That God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God works by His providence to accomplish His will in your life, but you won't know in advance what the outcome of that is. And so here is what we do. Do we want God's guidance today? Here's how you find it. You make the Word of God, written and incarnate, your primary focus. That's the defining nature of life for you. And then you make secondary choices, who you marry, what kind of job you take, where you're going to live. You make secondary choices that are not revealed in the Word of God and conform them to the life, ability, and desires that God has given to you. This is gloriously liberating. Because all of a sudden, I don't have to live with this weight of fear of missing God's will on those kinds of decisions, or sinning against Him, or missing His best for my life because I just didn't wait long enough for the pizza to digest before I determined that I had a sense of peace. This means that I can leave all of that subjective, guilt-ridden, manipulative stuff aside and not fear that I'm missing anything, and make the choices according to the life, ability, and desires that God has given to you. And then you trust God and give Him glory as the consequences unfold before you see Christ face to face. And where do we find last bit of tag-on wisdom here? God gave a whole book in the Bible devoted to wisdom in life decisions. It's called Proverbs. There you find so much of what can guide you in those things that are not specific in God's will. Beloved, God, if you are in Christ, God loves you. Christ loves you and has secured your eternal well-being. And He is guiding you through everything that happens to accomplish His will. You don't need to fear a divine spanking in these non-moral areas, but rather you can trust that a wise and divine hand is in a hidden way guiding you to the fulfillment of that which He appointed for your life before the foundation of the world.
And with that, Pastor Don Green has concluded our series, The Holy Spirit Today, here on The Truth Pulpit. Don has repeated two important words throughout this series, and others as well. And these two words should occupy a prominent place in your heart and mind at all times. And Don, those two words are?
Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. My friend, that's really been the thrust of everything that we've said in this series, is to build up your confidence in God's Word and not accept cheap imitations about prophecy, about healings, or about tongues. God's Word is supreme. God's Word is the authority. God's Word is sufficient for life and godliness. If you have God's Word and you are in Christ, you have everything that you need. So, my friend, be confident of that Bible that you hold in your hands. Treasure it, read it, memorize it, and learn it, and God will bless you in the end.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com and click on Radio Offers. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we hope you'll join us again next time here on The Truth Pulpit.